Census 1234 invites you to get this with Tony Martin and Andrea Powell.
Yes, indeed. Good morning, everybody. Welcome aboard the final Get This for the week. Ed is here.
Good morning, Tony. Good morning, Andrea.
And another round of that applause, if you could bear, for Andrea Powell.
Well, hello. Wonderful to be here.
You know, it is our first week, and we've been getting faxes and abusive calls from all over. A lot of people are tuning into the show. I'm not sure if the Prime Minister listens to the show. I don't know. Could he? Do you think that's a possibility, Bear?
Every chance. There is every chance that the PM...
The answer is yes, I do.
Oh, there you go. There we are. So we're hoping to get him call in before the end of the show.
Great. Looking forward to that.
Gee, you're really fired up about this program, Andrew.
I
can tell.
I'm very excited. I've only had one coffee. That could be the problem.
We'll get some sort of tanker backed up to the studio before the end of the program for you. Now, look, I had to call you up about doing this and have one of those embarrassing conversations where it's, am I allowed to mention that you're Ethel Chopp?
You are. I think it's fine. Ethel Chopp.
Because it's like that thing with Dame Edna. You know
I
mean? Barry Humphries always talks about Dame Edna in the third person. And
I have done that as well. And it tends to really weird people out.
So, does it?
Seeing as this is your first week, I thought I'd give you a break and just go, yes, I am Ethel Chopp.
We're quite prepared to weird people out. That's acceptable.
Yeah. Okay.
Ethel Chopp. Now, I have to say about Ethel, I love Ethel's work. But is there a program in the country that she hasn't been a regular guest on?
Well, not this one. And various others at the Austereo Network, a few. Yeah, but no, she's more famous than I am, that's for sure.
Right. Is she based on anyone in your family?
She is. She's very loosely based on this friend of my grandmother's called Wyn Byrne. Right. A very caustic woman. We called her Wind Byrne. Oh. And she was one of those really abrasive characters where everything was just appalling, you know, for her. Just she was really negative. Just like, oh, it's so cold, you know. her son took her to Canada on this fantastic trip, and she was like, all I wanted to do was go home. There was snow everywhere. And she went to Hong Kong. It was full of agents. So
was there anything she
delightful.
Liked? Was she comparing?
She liked her money.
Oh,
you
right.
wouldn't know it, but she just dressed like a bag lady. She was really loaded and I think took it all to the grave.
And
good
was the, is there a key phrase that she used that's like was the key to Ethel Chopp?
She used to say to my grandmother all the time, oh, Polly, it was awful. And
would she go to a lot of stuff?
That was pretty much.
Would Wyn go to like, would she go to a lot of, you know, theatre and movies and stuff like that and then say it was awful or say it was awful without going?
She'd get out there.
That's great.
But, you know, looking like she just bought a frog from St. Vincent de Paul when she was probably almost a millionaire.
Wow.
Anyway, she's dead now, so I can say what I like.
Yes.
But she was an inspiration, Wyn. I felt sorry for her, really. She was like the antithesis of my grandmother, who was like really friendly and positive and stuff. But
I like to think of, you know, I give all of my relatives a catchphrase. And my grandmother, I've talked about this before, her key phrase was referring to the radio, the television as the picture wireless. Go and switch the picture wireless on, will you? She'd often say that. And my mother-in-law, who's sadly passed away, she had a wonderful catchphrase that she would always say to my wife, which was, oh, you're not going out wearing that, are you? And I think if she'd ever done her autobiography, that's what it would have been called.
Right. You're not going out wearing that, are you?
But, hey, do you want to stick around and just talk rubbish with us on this program? That's what
I
we do.
I would be delighted.
We have. I'm just going through the issues that we haven't got to during the week. Were you following the Katie Holmes noiseless birth story? Have you been following that?
Look, I read a small piece about it, and I just thought silent birth meant the media weren't allowed around.
No.
Is she not allowed to scream?
No, it's not, you know, they're allowed.
Oh. It's because, you know, the idea is that, they have these cards up. When Katie Holmes is giving birth, they've taken these huge signs in and they're going to be all over the ward and it's going to say things like, no screaming, no emotional outbursts, be silent and make all physical movements slow and understandable. Free personality test, $8,000. They're going to have those up. The Scientology people have got them up in the birth ward.
Is she giving birth or is she being confined to a padded cell? I mean,
no screaming, no hysterics, no emotional outbursts.
Better keep those Italians away then.
That sort of behaviour is best reserved for appearances on chat shows to unconvincingly espouse the delights of your sham marriage. I just wish they'd had a few of those signs up at the Oprah program that time.
If only they had.
But sound during birth could psychologically harm the baby. You know, I would have thought that was the least of its worries. Let's see who its dad is. An insane control freak in a permanent state of sexual denial. But I'm sure I've seen women just walking around the studio in the station here just shy. I don't think it's possible to have a silent birth, is it?
I wouldn't have imagined so. Mm. No. It's hard to be silent just kind of when you're normally going about your business, let alone squeezing a small human out of your genitals.
What we have
sorry,
here on this
Triple M. I wasn't sure which word to use.
Oh, no, genitals is quite acceptable.
Great. Sweet.
We've got the fantastic Thunder Genitals promotion coming up later. Show us your genitals.
Or your gonads, if you like.
You know what the problem with this segment is? We've got a whole panel of people, none of whom have children.
Yeah.
And
true.
Our producer, Nikki, over there is Nikki, is it possible to give birth silently? You've done this. Just step over to the microphone if you could.
No.
No. Were you swearing like a trooper when you were giving birth to your son?
I did scream quite loudly, primal screams, and the doctor did say to me at one point, you can do that without making noise. You can just internalise it.
Oh, just scream in your own head. I reckon it's one of those situations where you have every right to scream and be hysterical and swear and punch your partner. So why wouldn't you make the most of it? Silent birth. They're insane.
Look, I want to get to that fantastic gonads promotion we were just hinting at. That could well be coming up next because we're making this up as we go along here. And get this. That's you two, Everlasting Love here at Triple M. It's Get This right around the nation. And speaking of Everlasting Love, Andrea Powell is with us.
Yes.
Ed's on board. And look at this story. Wow. I'm still filleting the New Weekly, and they have this bit called Real Life Confessions. And a lot of people around the office have been talking about this woman who has 500 orgasms a day.
Wow.
Is that a bit tad excessive, do you think?
Just as tad, yeah. I think one day is excessive.
Yes, he's found an appropriate place for his sex sound effect. Yes, Bear, that was great.
The Bear has just been dropping that sound into air. We could be talking about global warming, and he's going, oh, they'll be needing the orgasm.
That I thought it was Nikki, and I was like, what is she
giving birth again? Is she
keep it quiet?
Oh, look, now he's just turned into Murray Tregoning. Dear, oh dear. What I love is, too, he's gone and seen Maddie in production, who builds all of our sketches and does a very fine job.
Genius.
And said, can I get that orgasm sound on CD for my car? I don't know what possible use he could have. Listen to this woman here. A 51-year-old mother of three is constantly aroused and has to avoid any form of vibration which could tip her over the edge and cause unwanted orgasms.
Tip her over the edge.
Rid your life of unwanted orgasms today.
And is that a picture of her chopping onions and having an orgasm?
That's right, chopping onions and set her off.
Yeah.
How's that?
She has lived. Sexy onions.
She's had this problem for 11 years, but was only diagnosed 5 years ago with the condition. It's a real medical condition, apparently. Persistent sexual arousal syndrome.
Gosh.
Any sort of vibration can send me over the edge, mowing the lawn, driving the car, or leaning against the washing machine when it's on the spin cycle can trigger an orgasm. And then the New Weekly has got a photo of her sitting on top of the washing machine.
Yep.
Now, that's the photo that makes me think that maybe the whole thing's made up.
No. What about the one where she's reading? Is she aroused with the reading?
Yeah, she's reading a book. And what is the book? She's reading The English Patient. She's reading The English Patient. There you go. A bloke with his face burned off. Core.
Is there a picture of her watching television? Perhaps seeing, spying Darren Hinch in a midriff top on Dancing the Stars?
That would account for 200 of the 500.
Absolutely.
And there she's doing the housework. Oh, God, blimey. Yeah. But then...
Mr. Sheen.
I love how she's sitting on the washing machine and says, the machine spin cycle is a danger zone for Jean. But why? In what context would you sit on your washing machine? Like, okay, that's something that might set it off.
Yeah.
But it was, I couldn't believe it. I was sitting on the washing machine the other day. You'll never guess what happened.
You've obviously not been a single girl before, Tony.
Hey, it's early days.
What if people are trying to steal your washing? Right out of the machine.
So you're going, that could happen.
Yeah.
I better sit here all day.
That's what I'm saying.
Sure, I mean, persistent sexual arousal syndrome could be affected. It could be triggered.
But I won't lose any cardies.
I'm going to sit here all day if I have to.
It could be a particularly large load. She's trying to keep it all in the machine.
There you go. What if it's one of those machines that wanders off, you know, in the room?
Those, we've had one of those. We had one that went down to the shops. Just on the first cycle. Listen to this bit. Too embarrassed to tell Bob, her husband. Too embarrassed. You think he would have noticed the 500. You think he'd be going, what's going on here? I've just walked in the door.
Why are you whimpering all the time?
Too embarrassed to tell Bob, her husband of 16 years. They divorced 6 months after she developed the condition. He's not the type of person to be sympathetic. I felt guilt and shame, so rather than tell him the truth, I said I wasn't happy and wanted a divorce. So she'd been hiding the 500 orgasms.
Right. Any chance of reconciliation? Did they get to that?
Well, I think that's later on. I haven't highlighted that with my pink felt pen before the program ends, right. So.
Maybe
what? What have you been doing between the hours of midnight and 6 a.m., Tony? Sleep? What have I told you about that?
I've been sleep. Only about 50 women worldwide have ever been diagnosed with this syndrome.
Wow.
But 190 of them have joined Jean's support group. She's got a support group. What must that be like? Oh, a whole lot of women sitting in a circle. Next.
Stop it. It's a shame that she's not even having sex to get any of these 500 orgasms.
No.
What a waste.
She's just separating the whites and colours. And it says here, she has also told people at work, listen to this, some of the guys heard me talking about it. You should have seen their reactions until I asked them, how would you like to climax and be ready to go 5 minutes later? That shut them up.
Mm.
Yeah, I must admit, that does sound like a nightmare scenario.
Where does she work? Do we know where she works? Doesn't say.
At a munitions factory. somewhere with a lot of vibration. At the earthquake detection centre. I don't know.
On an assembly line.
Oh, look. So keep an eye out for that, Andrew.
I will. Yeah, great. I've got to look out for that.
You're having a ball, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm having a ball. Yeah.
It's too early,
I'm
frankly.
I'm a single lady.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Really?
I've been doing the RSVP dating.
Oh, how does that go?
Oh, it's just great. I've met some nice men.
Right.
I've been very careful, but I've had some very interesting people write to me.
Mm. Who have you had?
I've had a guy that's pretty much only into Dire Straits and barbecues, so immediately we've got a lot in common.
Right.
Another bloke, because they have these categories under your profile, so there's like books, movies, you know, sports and stuff. And under books, he's written reading. I don't have time for books. I'm into life. So great there. And but this guy, I just wanted to...
You've got some printouts.
He's had his picture taken, a profile shot in front of a bookshelf.
There
already
you go.
My alarm bells are going off. And he's talking about himself. I'm a cultured professional who is adventurous, fit, confident, humorous and stylish.
Oh, okay. That's a lot to take in.
Bad.
It's a lot to take in. But what he wants from his lady is, well, he wants her to dress well. And he says here, since height and weight proportionality is important, if you divide your height in centimetres by your weight in kilograms, and the result is 3.1 and 0.4, then I would be sexually attracted to you.
That's going to be a fantastic date, isn't it? He's going to have protractors out. He's going to be noting down calculations throughout, sizing you up with templates.
I had a friend whose sister was doing RSVP as well, and she was looking around and she typed in her hobbies, and this like a perfect match came up, and it was just someone who had stolen her photograph and her hobbies and put it on as themselves.
Is that right?
How bizarre!
And she sent her an email saying, "Can you not like pretend you're me, please?" And she sent her one back saying, "I thought you were really cool. I wouldn't mind being you. I'm not going to stop."
Right, so it's a kind of single white female scenario.
Yeah.
God.
And was the doppelganger scoring? Was it working?
Oh, yeah.
Well, good luck with that, Andrea. I have to say, I hope that turns out well for you.
Yeah, do you?
Yeah, and you know, if it doesn't, you can always just pop out to the laundry. That'll probably... That's the Veronica's Everything I'm Not Here. At Today Tonight. disturbing footage indeed. I'm Naomi Robson. If you've been the victim of workplace bullying, we at Today Tonight would love to hear about it so we can film a hilarious reenactment with our staff. It's Get This with myself, Tony Martin, Andrea Powell's with us, Ed's on board. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do. Yeah.
The hilarious Today Tonight reenactments.
It's so realistic.
They had workplace bullying, and it was like, obviously they've just gone, oh, get everyone in here and let's get some stuff happening. And they've got someone from the staff and they've tied them to like a bed on wheels, like at the hospital, and they've just got about 60 people in the circle just pushing the person back and forwards, and everyone's just having a ball. And you're just going, wouldn't it be great to work on Today Tonight and just do reenactments all day?
So was it set in an office?
It was like they were down in an underground car park.
And so, okay, so the story was that in this workplace, they had a hospital bed and a car park.
Apparently.
And the best bullying they could think of was to push them on the bed.
It was to play pass the parcel with somebody.
Yeah, that very sounds good. Terrifying.
Yeah, very good bullying.
But I should say maybe they were actors because often they have to hire, you know, the people on Crime Stoppers are actual actors.
Well, I had a friend who was in a reenactment of workplace bullying as well, actually.
Right, right.
But he was like a mechanic. He was like a young mechanic. Mm. And the old mechanics were bullying him and tying him, like gaffer taping him to chairs and hitting him with implements and
stuff. Yes, sure.
Mm. Mm. So, you know.
I had a part on Crime Stoppers some years ago. Oh, I had to walk out of a pub and look really drunk and walk off. And somehow it was really easy, quite convincing, actually.
And what was your character described as?
Just someone at bar.
Wow.
With red hair.
Did you do much preparation for that? Did you stack on all night and just practice your staggering?
Stack on.
They wouldn't serve us. And I'm like, well, that's ridiculous. How can we get into character if they don't give us a few drinks? And like, no, this is a professional outfit. It's like, oh, rubbish. It's appalling. No wonder they never catch any murderers.
Has Ethel ever been asked to take part in a Crime Stoppers, say, as a nosy neighbour?
Yeah, funnily enough, no. And I don't know why. Because, you know, she just looks so realistic.
There is, you know, I mean, Ed's an actor trying to find work about town. And, of course, there's so little work for actors these days. And that's why Georgie Park is hosting a game show. And, you know, I just want to start seeing some big names.
Isn't she doing crime, some kind of forensic investigations? Who's hosting that?
That's Rebecca Gibney. See, that's what they all have to do.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
I'd like to be seeing, you know, Jack Thompson just playing, you know, suspicious shop owner number 3 during some kind of reenactment. That could happen.
The Australian reenactment industry is going through the roof.
Oh, it's out there. Are we running way over today, man? Every day I notice the show is just blowing out. People are crawling in. We want foreigner, cold as ice. Stop talking. There's a lot to get through in the hour. I want to talk about, you know, I'm selling my car.
Oh, what? No.
Yeah, I'm selling my car because I want to buy some petrol.
That car can't be worth 10 cents. You've run it into the ground for years.
There are so many things to talk about. I'm going to be pitching a new TV show to the networks over the weekend.
What's that?
It's called The Biggest User. And it's the search... It's a search for Australia's fattest heroin addict.
Get this.
It's only been going for a week. I mean, for heaven's sake, can we get a sense of proportion?
The Census 1234 on Triple M.
Ethel Chop here, and you're listening to Get This on Triple M. You need to get a grip.
It's World Party with the Ship of Fools. It's Get This. Andrea Powell is our co-host there. Are you enjoying yourself, Andrea?
I'm having a ball, Tony Martin.
It's a new show and, you know, we're still ironing the kinks out. And I'm glad that you've agreed to come in during that part of the process because a lot of people have just said to us, look, mate, we'll come in when you've got it right.
Really? They're insane.
Yeah.
We'll end up making them look really bad.
That's why
I wanted to come in early.
Good on you.
No, I'm kidding.
Join us. Join us as we attempt to climb Talkback Mountain. And Andrea looks as baffled as all our previous co-hosts were.
That goat didn't want to wake up, did it? That was nasty.
It's a goat now, is it?
Definitely a
go. Yeah. You know what we should do, Ed? We should set up a camera and photograph each of the co-hosts at the moment when they hear that sound effect and just put the gallery up on the website.
Yeah.
We're going to have to put something up. There's nothing on the website except a photograph of me, you, Maddie from production and Nikki, our producer, looking like idiots.
Yeah, as my mum described it, everyone looks nice. There's no way you could look more gay in that photo than Ed. Yeah, this is from the same woman that I had got a haircut once and I came home and Mum said, I said, what do you think? She said, it looks like you've just been released because of changes of the Mental Health Act.
She sounds delightful.
Yeah. Can we get your mum on the show?
No.
I didn't even finish saying it and the no came out.
Sensing some tensions there.
Yeah, let's talk about the Pope, shall we?
Yeah.
Because there's been photographs of the new Pope, Pope Benedict, in the paper all week. And I find, to me, he just doesn't quite look like the Pope.
We're
so used to the old one. It's like when they get a new Doctor Who. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's like the Sylvester McCoy of popes. I'm not sure if he's going to catch on. It's just so fun. People just go, I prefer the old Pope.
Yeah, I like the old one better. Bring him back.
He looked more papal.
So papal.
And the old Pope just used to wear white, which made him look... This one sort of has a bit of red thrown
he's
in
flashy.
There.
Flashy. I reckon he looks a bit like a Punch and Judy puppet. His head doesn't look real. It looks like too small for his body or something.
I like how he's flashy.
Yeah, and he wears more capes. That's what I like about him.
He's got too much bling. That's the problem with that guy. And look at the photo of him that we're looking at. He's just standing on the balcony with hands up in the air and he seems to be going, nothing up my sleeve. He's about
doves
to do-
flew out of there. It's a second later, like 40 doves flew out of his sleeve.
Would that count as a miracle?
No, sir.
That watch he's wearing belongs to someone in the front row.
Is this your watch, Cardinal? But anyway, what is the deal with the miracles? Can you explain this, Ed? You've been on the internet.
My first bit of research for this show, and it's uncovered this. Now, people want Pope John Paul II to become a saint. Mm. Now, what he needs for that to happen is he needs two miracles since he's died. Because what that says is that he's up in heaven looking down, helping us out.
Right.
Not while you're alive. Mm. Right. So the two miracles so far, that are the two front runners, is a woman. This is a lady that went to see his tomb. And she said that she'd lost her car keys in her purse. She went home and then she found them in her purse.
And that's a miracle.
That's one.
That's how low the bar is these days.
Pretty big purse.
And then it was three. Isn't there meant to be so
one when you're alive, and then two when you're dead.
And what was the one he did when he was alive?
It's some healing, bring people
didn't
back.
Didn't do
to
a
life
very good
stuff.
Job on himself, though.
Oh. Oh my God!
And the other one, he said that a man from Naples who had not had sex with his wife in 16 years reported that after they visited the Pope's tomb, she miraculously took him by the hand and suggested they skip lunch and go back to their hotel.
Is this a joke? Are you serious about this? Where are you getting this from?
The internet.
And she had 500 orgasms. Never wash again. Used to washing machine.
All details of the new weekly.
So those are the miracles they're going for at the moment.
Now, what do you mean they're going for? How do you...
You got to apply. You have to apply. Sorry, you have to... if you think that... for our listeners, if Pope John Paul has helped you since he's passed on from heaven, then you have to write to the Vatican and there's a 100 euro application fee.
Oh, hang on a second.
Non-refundable.
Right.
Oh, that'd be to weed out joke ones.
Yeah.
As opposed to those two that you read out before.
Very legitimate miracles.
So this is not some sketch that we've made up. It's a papal miracle hotline, basically.
Yes, that's exactly right.
We've got car keys and we've got rekindled passion within marriage. But I've got one.
I've got a couple other of things. I thought you might say that, Tony. I found some religionfacts.com. Here are some other miracles, like more kind of standard miracles. Healings.
Yes.
Incorruptibility. The saint's body does not decay, blah, blah. An odour of sanctity. If your body exudes a sweet aroma, that's a pretty good miracle.
Just mean you're diabetic.
And then levitation, stigmata, here we go, bilocation. A saint appearing in two places at once.
Right, okay.
Those are your classics.
It's all sounding very David Copperfield, I have to say. So there's a papal miracle hotline. You can SMS your miracles direct to the Vatican. Win yourself a fantastic prize. So how does this work on Talk About Man? We want people to call in with just, let's not let the Pope have all the fun.
Exactly.
What about miracles that you've performed? If you think you've performed a miracle, we want to hear about it. Have you guys performed any miracles?
Well, I haven't performed a miracle. I think the Pope might be responsible for this one. But I went to my sister's wedding on the weekend, and the celebrant had the worst breath I've ever smelled. That wasn't the miracle part. The miracle part was I can't believe my sister didn't pass out during the ceremony. It was amazing.
Ed, yes, fantastic. See what? That is the danger of coming in the first weekend. Right there, you took your chance.
Right in the middle of poo breath there. It was, yeah.
Ed, have you got a miracle?
No. I won the all Brisbane boys under 12 breaststroke when I was 11. Beat some much bigger lads.
I've got one for you.
Go on, what's yours?
When I came into the station to be shown around the Triple M studios, oh, yes. the extremely dangerous and built on an old Indian burial ground, Triple M studios, when they took me into the studio where we would be doing the show,
oh, yeah.
The jock who showed me in did not use the phrase, "This is where the magic happens."
I heard that twice on my first day at Triple M.
I consider that to be an incredible miracle. Listeners, are you sitting on a miracle? Something you've done that constitutes, well, miraculous behaviour?
Yeah.
Give us a call at Talkback Mountain. The number is 1-333-53. That's Cheap Trick. Yes. This is Get This here at Triple M. I'm sorry. I was just momentarily stunned because Andrea said something that I don't think I've ever heard anyone say at Triple M, which is...
I've never heard of Nickelback. I really haven't.
Two security guards will come and escort you to the front door at any moment.
Escort you to a listening room.
It is Talkback Mountain, and yeah, why not? Okay. We're asking to, get on the Pope's bandwagon and tell us about your miracles. Miracles that you have achieved. Perhaps you're a candidate for sainthood. We've got some people on the line. I think we have Richie. Are you there, Richie?
Yeah, Tony. Love the show.
Thanks very much.
I've got a double miracle here. I count on two levels. I'm in the pub one day and I'm on the meat train.
That's incredible.
That's one.
Okay, the miracle there is I got a phone call off my wife saying we're having a barbecue. You better get some meat here and some alcohol. So I got our local Bill's bus. I put the meat tray and the beer on the bus. Sent that home. The bus driver wouldn't take any money because he just wanted to see the expression on my wife's face when I didn't arrive. So I fed the masses, and the miracle is I'm still alive. She didn't kill me.
Oh, look, there's about seven miracles in there. And, you can retire on that one, really, can't you, Richie?
I was trying to get through to Mickey on this and get a dodgy behaviour T-shirt as well yesterday. I couldn't get through.
Well, of course, Tough Love is coming up at midday. And so you were just going to fashion that same story into shonky behaviour, were you?
Yeah, everywhere. I got high fives in the pub for the rest of the day and I'm still alive, so it's good.
Well, I'm sure there's a segment on the shebang you can get that story into as well. Thanks very much. Great miracle. Top miracles, Richie. I think Jeff is on the line. You there, Jeff?
Yeah, g'day. My 16-year-old son was sitting around the other day playing PlayStation.
Yep.
And I just, without offering him any incentives or anything whatsoever, I said, listen, mate, would you mind running the vacuum cleaner over the house? And he just went, yeah, sure.
Oh, my God.
And did it.
And did he actually do it, Jeff?
He did it.
Jeez.
Oh, my goodness. Is your son on drugs?
Is he on those ADD drugs? And he just went, oh, PlayStation, I've had enough PlayStation. I've got to listen back at me. Got to listen back at me. Is he, like, was he trying to suck up to you for do you need a new game, perhaps?
Well, no. I mean, normally it's like, oh, you know, is there tin back in it or whatever, you know, or he wants to... spot of smoke or something, I don't know.
It's like prison, your house. People work for smokes.
All right, well, I guess that is a miracle. Thank you very
much.
Thanks, Jeff. Sam is on the line. You there, Sam? Hello,
yes,
Sam.
Yes, I am. Hi, how are you?
Good. Where are you calling us from?
I'm from the Gold Coast at the moment.
Oh, yes. Whereabouts on the Gold Coast?
Just at Hope Island.
Oh, sweet. Is that anywhere near where they used to do It's a Knockout?
Yes, I think so, somewhere around there. I've got a real miracle for you that happened to me.
Yeah, let's hear it.
About 15 years ago, I was at the Melbourne Botanical Gardens. I thought I'd go down there and feed the ducks.
Mm.
So I went down there and all the ducks came over and I gave them my whole bag of bread.
Mm.
And this little duck came running from all over the other side of the lake and he didn't get any bread. It was really sad. And so I said to myself, God, I wish I had some more bread. And a piece of bread fell out of the sky and landed on my head.
You're joking.
I'm not joking. It was the weirdest thing that ever happened to me in my whole life.
Where did it come from?
Yeah.
I don't know. I looked up and there was no birds, there's no trees, there's nothing else around, nothing dropped it. So.
No bakers.
It was amazing.
Had somebody just excreted a piece of bread from an airplane?
I don't know. I thought that maybe. I wasn't sure.
Wow.
This is where you go, gee, I wish I had an anvil.
I've got another one too that a girlfriend told me, which is really amazing.
Yeah.
They went round to a friend's house because they just laid some turf and they thought they'd get like a square metre of turf in their own yard.
Oh, yeah.
And while they were standing there talking about getting some turf and the fact that there wasn't any left for them to take home, a turf truck drove around the corner and a piece of turf fell off the back of the truck.
Oh, look.
That's hilarious.
Wow.
Was it the right shape and size for the bit that was missing?
Was it the exact size they needed? It sounds like your entire life is just like a Minty's commercial.
It was the exact size turf that they needed, and it wasn't the same turf truck that these people had had either. It was a completely different turf truck.
And then one day, I was at a barbecue, and I said, I need a signed first edition of Catcher in the Rye. And then guess what happened? This is just amazing.
I know. It's amazing. It's a real miracle.
Well, thank you very much, Sam. Thanks, Sam. You could be our next Triple M Pope. Have we got Richard, as opposed to Richie? Richard on the line. Are you there?
I'm there.
Whereabouts are you speaking to us from, sir?
Mount Albert, Tony. Good to have you back.
Thanks very much. What's going on in Mount Albert? Mount Albert, miracle-wise.
Look, as a young fellow, we were sitting around skylarking as you do, and we were blue flaming, so to speak.
Oh, sure.
That's a favourite old pastime of many a young person.
Absolutely. Now, whilst we were the ignitions were fulsome, so to speak, the actual miracle was that the spectators who were watching this particular one that had ignited was the fact that it lit up in the shape of the Maltese cross.
Oh, fantastic. And isn't it true that when the Pope releases a blue flame, that means that there's a new Pope being elected? Am I getting that right? I don't know much about religion. I'm sorry if I've offended.
I think it means a new bottom is being burnt.
Well, the brown cloaked one might be imminent.
This guy is working up gear. The brown cloaked one might be imminent. I've got too many key phrases for today's show.
Was it unanimous? As soon as the blue flame, did everyone just go, "Wow!"
It was shock. We had the lights out, and it was like an aura.
And Richard, can you explain whatever did happen to the letter U in Mount Albert? What's going on there? What's with the Mont?
What's with Mount Albert?
Yeah, well, why isn't it Mount Albert?
I don't know. I've got no idea.
It's French, isn't it?
That's a miracle. I guess that it's French, isn't it? Yes. Well, what a selection of miracles.
Yeah,
I feel like we should be giving everyone something. You know, we don't actually give it. We're so stingy on this program. Yeah, there's no prizes. But if everyone wants to stay on the line, Nikki, I'm sure we'll find something in the prize cupboard.
That's a great idea.
Oh, that's very generous. Nice. That's a miracle in itself.
Perhaps a papal meat tray for everybody. you know what we're going to try and do to wind up this show? We're going to attempt to wake Mick Molloy.
Excellent.
In fact, that's a new segment on the show. Wake Mick Molloy. That'll be next.
Get this.
I'd like to hear all the nice Nickelback.
For Census 1234 on Triple M.
We're attempting to wake him up, the sleeping monster. That'll be next to Get This. And that was, of course, Jet here at... Yeah, Tony Martin got his song name right. Did I call Jet Cheap Trick earlier?
Mm-hmm. Yes, you did.
Well, what does that say?
That you love Jet.
Interesting. It says I was panicking, running around trying to find miracles. I just jumped. I apologise to members of Jet who may be listening, although they probably take that as a compliment.
Maybe they would. I think it means you're not quite jiggy with the young folk, like I am.
I've never been jiggy ever. Oh, for God's sake. I think that's the last time we need to hear that. Andrea Powell has been helping us out today. And have we got him on the line? Are you there, Mick Molloy?
Yes, I am here. Hey,
it's a miracle.
Hey, I heard you once back announce a crowded house track as Meatloaf.
Well, Tim Finn had been stacking on a tad.
Well, hey, what time is this?
In most states, it's about 10 o'clock.
It's about 10 o'clock. Is your show on now?
Yeah, it's just finishing.
You got rolled by management. You got done like a dinner. How many songs do you play?
I think we're supposed to play 5.
I play 12. It amounts to 5 minutes of talk.
And what have you got coming up today on Tough Love?
Oh, it's too far ahead. We don't plan that far ahead. I'll let you know at 5 to 12.
What time do you get in the cab?
Actually, I was hoping, can you call me back at 11:45?
A wake-up call?
Yes, please. Hey, no, we're not doing any... like topical stuff at the moment because it's Shonky Week on Tough Love.
And how's that? Dave Graney told me the other day, he's been very impressed by the standard of shonky behaviour you've been uncovering.
Well, my favourite call yesterday was a guy who was going on holidays and he didn't have enough money to put his dog in the kennel, so he took it to the pound. He said it was lost. So the only thing he had to be careful of was the dates, just so he got back in time. I thought that's genius.
Yeah. It's pretty clever.
Sort it out. I don't know if you know, Mickey, we've been broadcasting, sorry to call you Mickey. Someone told me people were calling you Mickey on the footy show last night. Is that in the Melbourne footy show?
They were, Tone. It was a bit of a one. Did you see that, did you?
I saw a bit of it, actually, Tone. Mickey? Mickey Boy? I think the Mickey Boy might have been in there as well.
Yeah.
Glad to have you back at Channel 9, Mickey.
You know, we all went home and slept together. So it's fairly familiar once you get into that Boise environment. Well, I'm starting my own footy show.
What is this? Tell me about it.
I was hoping you'd tell me. What time's it on?
Someone will call.
What day is it on?
Any given Sunday, I think.
It'll be a Sunday. Well, that's impossible for me. I can't do that.
Hey, did you go down and check the old Mick Molloy show offices when you were at 9?
Yeah, I did. They're still roped off with police tape, I'm afraid. There's a guy with a megaphone going, there's still nothing to see here, people. Keep moving. They have steam cleaned the carpets, I'm happy to say.
Oh, well, that's good to hear. Hey, you know we're broadcasting from the haunted studio here.
Studio too.
Yeah, and as I understand it, you won't even step in here. Is that right?
Good. I can say whatever I like because this won't be going to air. I will not go in there until you've called an exorcist, basically. I was in there once and CDs started flying off the shelves and hitting me in the head. And they were Supertramp CDs.
Oh, no.
Nothing more demeaning.
That's adding insult to injury.
The radiator cap blew once. Steam started coming out. Here's what to do. If it starts to mess up on you...
Yeah.
Give it a thump like Fonzie. You know what Fonzie used to do on the jukebox?
Yeah, well, we tried that on day one, nothing. In fact, Cold as Ice went to air by mistake.
Tony, that wasn't a mistake.
Oh, well, thank you very much for joining us on the first...
Good on you, mate, and welcome aboard. Yeah. And after midday, I'll see you down the boozer.
Yeah. Tough Love is coming up at 12. I think Mick wants us to start about 20 past today, just for his benefit. Thanks very much for joining us, everybody. Thank you much. Very much. I didn't have time for very. No. Hey, Andrea Powell.
Thanks for having me, Tony. It's been marvellous. Thank you, Eddie.
It's been a great first week. I'd like to thank Nikki, our producer. Yeah. Matt making the sketches genius. Like nobody else can. Katie on the phones. The bear just the bear hanging room. On by his fingertips. And Ed Cavalli, it has been a pleasure to do this week with you.
And you, Tony. And you.
Will you come back for more?
Oh, yeah.
I hope you say that. And I think the key phrase today was fulsome ignitions. But maybe it should have been...
I've never heard of Nickelback.
We will be back on Monday with Julia Zemiro.
Come on, how embarrassing.
And it's all thanks to Census 1234.